sorry.
In a world of mediocrity, these guys are considered mediocrity. The Big Boned Gus Warland. AFL superstar Jude Bolton.
It can be a bit of day drinking at stages, but I don't want to encourage that.
And NRL legend Wendell Saylor.
Okay. There is a camera here too, so they probably will post that.
Okay.
It's a 2 hour show that'll make you wonder.
Well, then, how come it's not called the Rush Hours?
Gus, Jude, and Wendell are Triple M's Rush Hour.
Yes, welcome to the Rush Hour, Gus, Jude and Wendell for our second day. We are back, baby, and it's very exciting. The show today is going to be an absolute cracker. So many good stories. Got some interviews there with Brad Haddon talking about the Ashes, as well as Todd Woodbridge is down there at the Australian Open in Melbourne.
Todd Woodbridge, yeah. Mate. Todd Woodbridge, yeah. One of our greatest players.
Dave, yeah. You're tired, aren't you? Like, all that cricket you've been doing, mate. No,
curious and media tonight.
You make one mistake on this show and all of a sudden people are in here.
I know about that. I'm fired up today
and I'm ready to take some people down with me. Just, yeah, I don't know. I'm just sick of first world problems. Yep. I'm sick of people just carrying on like pork chops when they should just get on. There's enough troubles in the world, you know what I mean?
I'm feeling you, brother.
Start the ball rolling, and who's got me in this mood? Novak. Yesterday I said this about him.
Mr. Djokovic later distanced himself from the post, saying the words were not his but that of the Suns fans. But it's out there already. You posted it. You're a flog. Your son's a flog. It's a flogathon.
Yeah, it's a flogathon, all right. Djokovic is reportedly in talks to sue the Australian government for his ill treatment in the country.
Yeah, it's that's crazy. Mate, $6 million, I think.
Mate, I reckon you've gone over the top. Okay. You've gone over the top here. Yeah. You're denigrating an absolute champion.
Okay, turn Jude's bloody microphone off first. Del, yep. I'll talk to you. You're the sensible one.
Sure.
I don't say that very often, but I'm saying it now. How's he come up with a figure of $6 million?
I don't know, but he's obviously, he likes money. He's got a legal team there. People have told him how good he is. I know what that feels like. And $6 million is the figure he's going to try and sue the Australian government for.
Prize money for the Australian
government. No one asked you, Jude.
Mike is still on.
Yeah. Let him come into it. It's right.
And what about another flog? And I'll get a little bit of stick for this because everyone loves him because he's so good looking. He's so good at his sport. Kelly Slater. Surfing champion Kelly Slater is going to be treated exactly the same way if he tries to enter Australia like Novak has. That's exactly what the Health Minister Greg Hunt has declared today. Hunt said that Slater, who has opposed mandatory vaccination, is set to compete in the two World Surf League events in Australia. He's going to be sent home if he tries to get to the country. So, Nick, stay home, brother. Sorry, Kelly, stay home, brother.
Mate, you're on fire today, mate. You need a
what do you think about Kelly Slater?
I like Kelly Slater, but the standard's been set there. Set now, and if you're an anti-vaxxer, mate, good luck to you, but they're the rules, and if you don't abide by them, laters.
Right, so Kelly Slater toast. What about you, Jude? What about Kelly Slater?
He now has to abide by the same rules. Exactly. Yeah. That's what we've realised. We should all be in the same boat.
Yeah. So stay in whatever country you're in at the moment.
Hawaii, America, over there, Mexico, wherever he's surfing, mate.
But he's going to miss those two events in Australia if he doesn't get the jab.
Mate, yeah. And he won't get them too, because he'll stand by what he believes, so he won't be doing those things.
And that's fair enough. Yep. That's his choice, and life is full of choices.
Yes,
so that's fantastic.
Trust me, I know that.
Gus Warland, Jude Bolton, and Wendell Saylor.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour. Our next guest loves the feeling of leather on his skin, but not in a weird way. Unless you consider wearing leather gloves all day in 30-degree heat as weird. Debuting with the Baggy Green in 2008, he's been acting captain, scored centuries, and even served it up to those whingy poms in the Ashes.
Oh, Brad Haddon, welcome to the crease.
Plus, he's won a World Cup in 2015, which was as good a time as any to retire to the lucrative world of commentary. Hey, Gus.
Yeah, the one thing he is doing really well is making the batsman play. We just need to take the corner of that rough and bounce and take a glove.
Please welcome to the Triple M Rush Hour, Brad Haddon.
Yes, and I tell you, that commentary about two balls later, that's exactly what happened, Had. So welcome to the Rush Hour. How are you, brother?
It's a pleasure to be here, boys. What a summer it was.
Yeah, it was a fantastic summer. We want to talk to you about that. I suppose Australia were favourites at the start, but were you surprised in the end that they won 4-0 and they're only one wicket away from it being 5-0?
Yeah, you talk about Australia being favourites at the start, but there's a lot going on before this Ashes campaign. You had Justin Langer under a lot of pressure in the media and with his players. They come off a really good World Cup, which they had never won, the 2020, but the way they presented and the way they started that first test, that they were ruthless. And by the end of that first test, England were gone. They'd broken them mentally. And in the end, the 4-0 result was perfect.
So JL's obviously made some incredible changes around the culture of the side as well, and had to just adjust his way he's interacted with the players. But does this put all the critics and naysayers, I guess, to bed?
Well, I think it has to. The one thing Justin was challenged on was his style of coaching. And he sat back and taken a look at that. And as a man, that's hard to do, to sit back and look at yourself in the mirror and think maybe I was the problem. But what he's done since then has been amazing. He hasn't lost a game. We've won the 2020 World Cup. We've dominated the Ashes. But more importantly, it's a style of play that we're starting to play. They're starting to create an identity of team first, where they're making things uncomfortable for the opposition. Yes, it was a big result, the Ashes, but even hearing Paddy Cummins talk after, it was about moving forward and winning in Asia.
Why did it take Bowen so long to get a start? We've obviously known him for a while. When I saw his number going, mate, look, I know he can bowl, but like, I didn't expect him to do what he did.
Yeah, well, an interesting story behind Bowen. He actually didn't play first-class cricket 2 years ago. He was left out of the team, and it was a real wake-up call. He's been a consistent performer till then, maybe got a little bit lazy, but the last 2 years, he's been amazing. And what he did at the MCG was something you'll have to go a long way to remember. It was unbelievable what the crowd was like. We've seen Warnie and Merv control the crowd at the MCG, but to someone to do that on debut, to get 6 for 7,
yep,
take the game away and the heart of the Poms, was outstanding. He's such a humble guy too.
Speaking of the Poms, I mean, is this the most insipid, I guess, a touring side that you've seen come out to Australia over recent history? They were just
pathetic
in the end.
Well, the disappointing thing about it is an Ashes series doesn't sneak up on you. You plan for this for 4 years, and you can talk about skill level. They've got Anderson, Broad, who will go down as two of the greats. But the one thing I didn't like is that they didn't compete. They didn't stand there, look Australia in the eye and say, you know what, you might be beating us on the scoreboard, but I'm going to fight for my wicket. I'm going to fight for every little bit of grass out here to compete, and that's the one thing they didn't do, and I think that attitude was the most disappointing thing for the whole summer.
It's like, oh, we've got to get off this field and meet.
Did a reservation and we've got beers and we're
exactly
out.
so we're out, and that's the England cricket team. It was just so disrespectful to people that have come before them. Hads, can you give us the disappointment of the summer and also your sort of number one moment of the summer in terms of the Ashes performances?
Yeah, I think the disappointment was just England's all-round preparation, that they got this tour so wrong. To not plan right for a series that's a marquee series, a theatre around it's huge, heads have to roll. It's as simple as that. The biggest thing I enjoyed about the summer was Travis Head. He came into this series under pressure, but the way he scored the runs, you need a number five that'll drive the game, change momentum, and he did that. He got 2 runnable hundreds under pressure, and also a little mention to Paddy Cummins.
Yeah.
He came in under difficult circumstances at the start, and the way he created an identity for this team, he just ticked every box we needed to.
Yeah, he's an absolute superstar. Hads, thanks so much for joining us, mate, on the Rush Hour.
Hads,
an absolute legend. You'll be a part of our show moving forward as the year goes on as well, and a part of Triple M Cricket as well. So good on you, mate.
Thanks, mate.
The Rush Hour. Gus, Jude and Wendell. On Triple M, yeah, baby.
Boys, I want to get something off my chest. And Lee, can you just play some... I don't know, some tree trust music?
Tree trust or trust tree?
All right, mate. Okay. This is why I need to calm down, all right, because of that. If you make a mistake in this show, then you're into me, all right? Yeah. If I could pick up your 2 mistakes all the time, then I would, but I don't.
Yeah.
Because I want you guys
to
listen to me. I want you to respect me.
Okay.
I don't want you to run at me. Definitely not. I want you to care about me. I want you to connect with me. And I want to help you.
Yeah,
I want you guys to help me with my dilemma.
Oh, man.
Exchange ideas.
Today, I turn up at my gym. I go up to the little monitor bit, and I've got my little card there, and you pop it up against the monitor, and it goes beep, beep, and you go through the door opens, and there you go into this gym, which for a man like me is a very difficult place to go. A man carrying weight, a man who goes up and down like a yo-yo with his weight. It's not a place that I find as comfortable and confident as you two gentlemen. It wouldn't let me in the door.
What happened?
Tim, who runs the gym, lovely bloke Tim, normally, goes, Gussie, that wouldn't work because your gym membership has expired. I said, what do you mean? I said, with COVID, I thought we'll shut down. He goes, yeah, it has. We'll shut down for a few months. But as a general rule, everyone's been back now for about 6 months or so. So your time, your yearly thing's up.
So you've got to pay your dues.
$7.95. So before I even get in the joint, I'm nervous as anything. I'm wearing a pair of Lululemon black shorts that I got for Christmas that are a little bit tight. And I'm $7.95 down before I even walk in the joint. And then I walk down to my class, and there's a couple of some very beautiful people in that class that I like. They're my friends. And then JJ walks out. Now, JJ's got the man bun. Mm. JJ's got muscles where you've got muscles, Del. Good looking cat. I'd say a 9 out of 10 if I was that way inclined.
He's up there with Jude.
He's better looking than Jude.
Okay.
He's a South American Jude, actually, with the mad bun and so forth.
Oh, and then
we'll invite him along to the Christmas party. See,
really,
how you go.
I really like this soothing music.
Yeah.
Quite nice.
It's a tree trust.
Yeah.
Or the trust tree, however you want to take it. JJ then absolutely flogs me. And not only flogs me, but he has a stick. And it's like a round stick.
Like a little club sort of thing.
Yes. Like. And if I didn't go low enough in the squats, I'd get a smack on my ass. If I didn't get my hands in the right position with the weighting squat, I got a smack in the back of the head, back of my back.
Yeah.
When I got a bondage session as well as a weightlifting session.
$7.95.
You would love it.
Up next, let's talk first dates. Now, I know you boys would have had some absolute shockers over your journey, especially you, Wallen, but there's one that we'll tell you about that takes the cake.
Gus Wallen, Jude Bolton, and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Welcome back to the Rush Hour, driving Sydney and New South Wales home. Gus, Jude, and Wendell here on Triple M. A woman has been forced to be at a blind date's apartment for days after a snap lockdown in a Chinese city. That's the most awkward blind date of all time. Last week, when an immediate lockdown was announced in a Chinese city, this woman became stuck at the apartment of a man that she had just met. And she was getting, as she was getting quite old, the woman's parents had arranged 10 blind dates for her. This particular date wanted to show off his cooking skills, so decided to have dinner at his place. Then after the dinner, when she was just about to leave, the apartment building was put into lockdown. So if she was about to leave, I'm thinking perhaps that date hadn't gone particularly well, or she didn't want to take it to the next level quite yet, Jude.
Exactly. She's making the move, say, respectful, walking out of here, let's leave it there.
And she says he talks very little, like a wooden man, but I think it's also good. So she doesn't want the bloke to be a chatty bloke, so her and I aren't going to get along well. And she also said his cooking skills were just so-so, and she gave him a thumbs up per effort. Now, she sounds like a complete, I reckon he's dodged a bullet there, but
locked down with them, though.
He's locked down with them. So that's a shocking first date. Have you boys had a bad first date or just a date in general?
Well, actually, my wife, Lynette, I took her out
and
for...
And if people don't know, she's absolutely magnificent.
So we'd had a really good first date, I think, and this was the second date, and it was up to me to sort of organise, and I was all excited, and I actually thought I'll try and show off a bit here and take her to an art house film. Like, I didn't really look up the review, and I thought I'll just try and show a bit of culture. And
because she was cultured and you weren't,
I took her to this film, and back in the day, it was Downfall, which is the one about the Hitler last final days. You see all the memes, and you know that second date feeling where you're up, you just want that energy and that a feeling to progress things and maybe get home, and you know,
yeah.
We walked out after a movie that touches on genocide and, you know, it was harrowing. Like, we walked out of there, like, just, it was the most mood-killing date I'll ever have. But we got there in the end, I guess, didn't
well,
we?
Like, well, you're married and you've got two beautiful daughters.
It was a mood killer.
Lucky you're handsome.
Yeah.
If you weren't so handsome, you would have been given the flick. What about you, Del?
Oh, look, mate, mine was at a movies too. Look, back in the day when I came from the country, I was just happy to be in the big smoke in Brisbane. So we had pre-season training in early 1994.
Hold on, that's a joke. Brisbane was the big smoke?
Yeah, compared to, like, off Serena. Mackay Serena.
Of course,
so, yeah, the big smoke. So Brisbane and I this thing called dating. I was just going, how good's this? Like, so, you know, I was in the Broncos squad. And then, so after pre-season, I thought, okay, you know, where can I take this girl? And so we went to the movies. Jurassic Park was on.
Oh, that's a great movie,
film.
Mate.
Hey,
great
film. It was great, but when the big man's tired, I was a little man at the time, so we go to Jurassic Park, got the popcorns and that. After about 20 minutes, you know what I'm like, if I'm not feeling it, I go, do you want to have a lay down? I lay on the floor, fell asleep for the whole movie.
What do you mean?
I
lay on the floor.
Yes, I lay on
your feet were.
I was tired, yes. Anyway, and I fell asleep. When I woke up...
She wasn't there, surely.
She was there. The movie had finished.
Oh, my God.
And so I thought, okay, you know what? That was bad for me, okay? So I tried to back it up with date two. Have you guess where I tried to take her for dinner? Sizzler. And just after that, there was no more chances.
Yeah, bloody hell. I can't believe she said yes to the second date.
Oh, mate, did you see me back in the day?
Yeah, you're a pretty good sort, to be fair. Give us a call on 1-333-53. Give us your blind date, your date stories, whatever date you've been on or a
mate has been on, you want to throw him under the bus. G'day, Martin. What happened to you, brother?
Here you go. Well, actually, we're at the Black Stump down in Linfield. You probably know, remember that was many years ago.
Yeah, I do.
Actually,
yeah.
Went out for dinner with my current wife now, but back then, she actually dumped me after I paid for the dinner.
Oh, you've shouted the dinner, and you've come away. How did it all unfold, Martin?
Oh, I think she wanted to be with someone else, but then, you know, luck have it. You know, eventually she came to her senses, and then we got married and three kids and grandkids later, you know, we're on our way.
Oh, that's a really nice story in the end, Martin. Were you shattered when she... What is your wife's name?
Denise.
So when Denise, you know, broke it up after that first date, were you shattered?
Of course.
Treat them mean, keep them keen.
That's right. Oh, she knows that now.
Hold on, just for a second. Is that Denise in the background?
Yeah, she's right next to me.
Okay, Marty, we need you to be quiet for a second. We're going to talk to Denise now. Now, Denise, why did you dump Martin after that first date? Was there another bloke that you were trying to have a crack at, and in the end that didn't work out, so you went back to Martin?
Safety.
No. Yeah, I think there might have been. I can't remember. That's too far back. But, we made it together in the end anyway.
Yeah. Marty, all I'd say to you is there's plenty more fish in the sea, you know. That's all I would have said to you.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Boys, want to talk to you about something interesting that came across the internet, and it talks about coaches and how they fire people up, how they motivate, and how sometimes they answer questions in press conferences. Now, this is a bloke in England, in one of the lower divisions, football manager. Have a listen to the question and then how he answers it.
If a tree falls and no one is there to hear it fall, does it make a noise? Does a penguin get cold? What way does your bath water go, clockwise or anti-clockwise, when you take the plug out? You know, these are questions which are going to be asked of us. These are questions we've got to have the answers to. But, you know, Sam's had a lovely haircut. It's started to grow out now. Coops is here, working silently away. Robbie's over there. It's the first time he's been quiet today. Terry's brought a briefcase in, you know. He's got four Japanese talking dogs in there. You know, this is what we work with, and we'll continue to work hard.
Terry's got a briefcase.
So he was asked, how were the team going to go on the weekend? Yeah. And that's how he answered it.
That's outstanding.
What was that? I don't mind quirky, but where was he going with that?
Yeah, he's more than quirky, yeah, that bloke.
Four miniature dogs in there.
Yeah. Well, that got us thinking, of course, and, you know, one of the true friends of the show and friends of National Rugby League is Jeff Toovey, Fox League as well, and no one can forget this.
Oh, come on. Come on, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. There's got to be an investigation into this. This has got to be, someone's got to be accountable for this.
And he was right. I think if you look back on that game, he was right,
yeah,
Toovs.
We'll still hear that Toovs interview 30, 40 years ago.
Oh, of course,
ago,
it's unbelievable, it? Mate. What a character of the game, mate. One of the toughest players I played against, too, just quite.
And very passionate. And one like Del, before we go to another bit of audio, that is probably unlucky not to have a gig. Like, he's an NRL coach, isn't he?
He got a bit hard done by there, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, thrown under the bus. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk now about Mike Gundy. He is still the coach of Oklahoma, and this is him fired up at a press conference, I think after hearing something written in the papers about one of his players.
One of my athletes. You go after one that doesn't do the right things. You don't downgrade him because he does everything right and may not play as well on Saturday, and you let us make that decision. That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage, and the editor that let it come out is garbage, attacking an amateur athlete for doing everything right. Where are we at in society today? Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Exactly right. I love that.
Stick up for your players.
As
absolutely.
Athletes, you would have loved to hear that from your coaches. When you stand up in the public eye and your coach standing up and saying, come at me, not at my players.
Yeah, I've had coaches do that. We've all had coaches do that. I think Eddie Jones, he was like that. Wayne Bennett, obviously. We know Wayne Bennett. He's all about his players, and that's why he's respected. So
yeah,
like,
that's what commands respect. You get in behind him after that.
Up next, it's time to talk footy. I'm back with the big set of six.
Yeah, yeah.
The Rush Hour on Triple M. Lucky someone in the Rush Hour can count. This is Dell's big set of six.
Yeah, So much to talk about the game of rugby league. Let's go tackle one, Jude.
Yeah, Knights star hooker Jaden Brayley is done for the season, Del. The Knights have now lost half of their spine with Mitchell Pearce heading to France. Are the Knights set for a tough 2022?
Well, look, I think last year they scraped in the finals. I think they finished seventh. Mate, as long as you've got someone like Kalyn Ponga, you've got a really good forward pack there. They need their spine intact, which it obviously isn't, but they've got a lot of talented young players around there. Young Clune's gone there. They've got Crossland there. But you've got Kalyn Ponga at the back and young Clifford. But the best thing they've got, you've got Andrew Johns and Danny Medeiros on their coaching staff now. So mentors. If anyone can find a utility and find that that spine to work, I reckon those two can.
All right, some clubs have raised concerns about releasing players for the All-Stars clash on February 12 and interrupting their pre-season training even more. Should they be worried, or are clubs just being overcautious?
No, I certainly understand why clubs are a bit nervous about this. Like, if you have someone like Latrell Mitchell or someone, I think he might be suspended, sorry, but if you release some of those big-name players like that and they get COVID, they might miss, the start of the season. So I understand the clubs are looking out for their best interest, but players, they love the passion of the All-Stars, obviously the Māori culture, obviously Indigenous culture. It's going to be a tough one because you could find the players and the clubs butting heads a little bit.
All right, tackle three. What do you think of the Roosters signing Brandon Smith?
Look, I think it's a great signing for the Roosters. I mean, I don't know where the Roosters find this money, but they just find
it. Oh, mate, we have lost a couple of players,
I can't get that. But all I'd say to Brandon Smith is I'm a bloke that used to live in the eastern suburbs. You just got to have the right people around you in the eastern suburbs. It's a very exciting place, the eastern suburbs. So he'll go well, Brandon Smith.
I think he should come this year.
No. Early release.
Yeah, come I think on, an early mate. Release on the cards. Is it fair that NRL players, Dell, have been placed under COVID restrictions, or should they be allowed to be free? Currently, they can't go to indoor areas of pubs, clubs, cinemas, and any visitors coming into their homes must produce a negative RAT test.
Look, I think they've done a great job the last couple of years, but the reason why they all got double vaxxed was so they can enjoy the little things. I know people say, oh, mate, but they're high-paid football players as part of their job. Yeah, I get it, but also, they've got lives outside of football, so I feel for them, but it's the way it is, and unfortunately, they're going to have to wear it. But I know that the Player Association are pushing for them to be able to sort of roam free and do their thing.
It's harder to create that bubble now.
Yeah, it's
for sure, especially as we has been double vaxxed, but this strain is different to the one that we got. That's why the boost is so important as well. What about the Dolphins on tackle five? They're still struggling to make an impact, which I absolutely love. Should they be concerned?
Look, mate, what
I'd signed say, no one pretty much.
Yeah, they've signed Kaufusi. They've signed Ray Stone. They've signed someone else from the Broncos.
Exactly, that's my point. You're going, I think they've signed that guy.
No,
they haven't
names.
Come up
they're
with
no
big guys.
Sarko. All I'd say, boys, is just be careful of the maestro, Wayne Bennett. He plays a straight back. Can I tell you, mate, so many player managers are already contacting Wayne. And don't forget, contracts mean nothing in this day and age. So don't worry. Wayne Bennett, he'd have players in place. And I reckon the biggest one he's got, I reckon Kalyn Ponga's right on his radar. So there'll be a lot of things happening behind the scenes. Wayne's a maestro. He's a master for a reason.
Yeah, we shouldn't forget that. He's in charge of a lot of stuff. And he's got all the connections, right, with what you're saying.
Yes.
Tackle six to finish up. The Dragons and the Tigers, they are equal wooden spoon favourites. Who do you think's going to be the worst of those two this year?
Oh, look, I think the Tigers will be. Only because, you got Tim Sheens going in there. At the moment, not everyone's sold on Madge. I know Madge is a good coach, but... And it's also the roster. I think the Dragons have bought quite well in the off-season. The Tigers have as well. But I just think that the Dragons, their juniors are a lot better. They're a lot more settled there. So I think the Dragons will do a good job this year.
That's not just you wearing your heart.
No, because,
the big head, mate.
No, but, mate, the last couple of years, have a look at the Tigers. They are, the way that the club is, they're going to sack Madge, or they're not going to sack. The mixed message is there.
And he's still favoured to be first sacked as well. But Tim Sheens is there. Surely how's that going to work, that relationship? Well, two big egos, two big alphas.
Well, that's what I mean. And that's what happens there. At least, I know that's a hard one. And also, you got to find your identity, the Tigers. The last... 5-10 years, they're still trying to find who they are and what they are. You just can't rely on them. I know the Dragons have been inconsistent as well, but I think there's a lot more upside to the Dragons with some of those young players like young Sloan and that, and Amano.
Yeah, they actually had some young players that really stood up. You put your backing in between those blokes. Yeah. Thanks, Dill. That is a big set of six.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Australia's $29 million pets
could be vaccinated against COVID-19 thanks to the efforts of a determined vet. Now, I didn't realise that pets could get COVID. I got COVID at the end of the Boxing Day test match.
You did, didn't you?
Got home, had the rapid when I got home, positive, straight upstairs, and the dogs were sitting at the bottom of the stairs going, because I love my dogs, and one in particular sleeps right next to me on the ground, and the other one likes to sort of stand out in the veranda outside, yeah. So they couldn't get upstairs, and they were just frustrated by it all, and I'm going, dogs can't get, pets can't get COVID, and the kids are going, Google it, Dad, you know, yeah. And it made me realise, and I think everyone's the same, we tend to love our pets more than we love our partners or our, maybe not our kids, but.
No, but I know, there's a loyalty there, there's a love. Yeah, I love Dobby, it's Sausage Dog, it's actually Tristan's dog, everyone thinks it's my dog.
Yeah, it's your dog.
It's not my, it's Tristan's dog.
Well, he doesn't do much with it. You're always walking
him. Yeah, but me and him, we hang out. We like, he's like a gangster. He's like me. Yeah, I love him.
What about you, Jude? How much money have you spent on your pet? Oh, have you got cats, dogs,
I've got
guinea pigs?
I've got a dog, a cat, and a few chickens as well.
Oh, well.
So, yeah.
Okay.
But the dog is just, yeah, it's a lovely dog.
What's its name?
It's Stella. It's a black retriever. It's a large dog. About 40, probably a little bit overweight, 45, 43 kilos. It's a big dog.
Okay.
But I remember it was just all locked up and we were like, what's wrong with it? It's not eating. It's not anyway. And sure
enough,
they're
not eating those sort of dogs.
Sure enough,
you
we
know
took them to the
wrong.
Vet and they said, no, we've got to take her over under and we'll just check her out and that sort of stuff. It was two and a bit grand later. And all it was, they went down with a camera down its throat and grabbed three baby wipes out of its mouth and gut, which was just the locked its entire intestine up.
Of course.
And the dog was fine. Exactly. It's part lab, part retriever.
Oh, yeah.
Eats everything.
Yep.
Of course.
That's why they're
three grand and not even one stitch to say, there's the money I handed over for it. At least have a scar.
Yeah, like a little bit of hair shaved. And a couple of nicks.
You should be happy.
How much would you spend, you know, on pets over the years and stuff? And would you go over and beyond, or are you more of a green dream type sort of bloke?
To be fair, not a big fan of pets. Like Dobby really brought a bit of love. Like when Tristan went and bought him a couple of years ago, drove out to Dubbo. They played me
a lot
break.
Of dogs are bought out in the country.
Yeah, so they drove out there, and then Tristan paid a couple of grand for Dobby, and I was just like, they played me off a break. I think they got me one night when I was a bit like sort of tipsy, and I said, "Oh, you got kids? You can get a dog at some stage."
Yeah, yeah.
So they drove out to Dubbo and brought it back, and then he was like, he came in and he was a bit cute, and I was like, next minute, like me and him were just hanging out, and I'm roughing him up, and that was cool. So he's been like the first pet that we've really had. Other than that, I haven't let the kids have any pets.
And there's so much love in the house when our house is a bit of a pet cemetery. Yeah. Like anything under a dog tends to die at our place. We've lost gerbils. We've lost
gerbils.
We've lost guinea pigs. Oh. I'm moving quickly on from that. guinea pigs, dwarf rabbits. Actual like big rabbits, like with the big ears, and so many different types of rabbits, but they're all
pigs.
They're all dead. Couple of cats, four cats overall.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
I'm not a big fan of cats.
You're either a cat man or a dog man. But my daughter really wanted cats, and in the end, they're all dead. So we're just dog people now. But we want to throw it out there on 133353. Triple M's most expensive pet. G'day, Adam.
Hey, how you going?
Very good, mate. How much have you spent, brother?
I spent over 2,500 dollars on a guinea pig.
On a guinea pig. Wow.
It's not one guinea pig. It's many because they keep dying or they change sex, right? And this guinea pig, I've got to take it to the hairdressers to get it coloured because you can't get the brown colour. And it either gets pregnant and gets fat, so I can't, you know, honey sparkle, she calls it. So I have to keep getting rid of that one, getting another one, another treatment. I swear to God, the pet identifies as he, she, or they.
Wow. What colour is the guinea pig at the moment?
What color? It's a honey sparkle brown. I tell you what, does a bear shit in the woods or should use this guinea pig? That's what color its fur is. And I have to pay $40.
Thank you, Adam. That is hilarious. We love you, mate. Stay on the line. You might win the double pass to Hoyts. Ian Greystanes, how much have you spent on your pet?
Hi, we spent about 25 grand on our just 2.5-year-old Labrador.
Oh, what's happened, Heidi?
Yeah.
Well, she was about 18 months when she did her first ACL around the clothesline, and then about 8 to 10 months later, she did the right ACL. So we've had surgeries for both of them and rehab. She swallowed a pebble, so she had to have induced vomiting and a gastroscope, which we were looking at having to sign for a laparotomy, but we didn't end up going ahead, thank God, because they got it out. So it cost us about 5.5 grand.
Oh
goodness. And multiple ear infections, and she has an allergy to grass. So we're always on creams and all sorts of stuff. So
what's what's the puppy's name?
Her name's Arya out of the Game of Thrones.
Oh, yes.
An allergy to grass. That's like Michael Klim with the allergy to chlorine, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Heidi, and I hope that everything works out with the puppy.
And hopefully you got pet insurance next time.
Yeah,
so.
I'm sure she did.
Gus, Jude and Wendell, this is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Welcome back to the Rush Hour. Wendell Saylor, Jude Bolton and Gus Wallen. And what a story this guy's. A family from Oran Park is stranded in Fiji after catching COVID-19 while on holiday. And there's a lot going on in this story, but the basics is that Ivan Cools and his mother-in-law, Lynn, are together in a hotel room with their niece, a six-year-old.
Trapped in paradise.
Trapped in paradise. And we've got Ivan on the line right now. Ivan, how are you, brother?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you.
Must have been a very exciting time to go to Fiji after lockdown. When did you find out? How long into your trip before you found out you had COVID?
Okay, here's the story. Well, we started on the 11th. I was tested positive with my niece. The rest of my family have been tested negative, so they ended up being able to go home. So it was us two that were pretty much stuck.
Yeah.
My mother-in-law told me, you know what, look, I'll stay to look after her because we're in separate rooms and we needed someone to look after my niece. Mm-hmm. So that's how she stayed. And now yesterday, my mother-in-law has contracted COVID or have had a positive result as well.
So do you have to stay another week now because of her?
Yeah.
Correct.
Mate, what about the testing? Wouldn't be cheap either, like the PCR testing, would it?
And also staying at the hotel, all the expenses now.
Yeah,
the costs have skyrocketed. I think so far we were up to about $7,000 it cost us to actually check out this morning. So.
Oh, my goodness, jeez.
Okay, we can hear your mother-in-law in the background talking over you. Yeah. Don't they do that?
Yeah.
Let's put Lynn on, your mother-in-law. Yeah. Appreciate talking to you, Ivan.
Good on you, Ivan.
Thank you.
Stay strong, brother. I got you.
Thanks, guys.
G'day, Lynn.
Hello.
Hey, Lynn. How are you?
Getting there, slowly, day by day.
How's the holiday been?
Disastrous.
Yeah.
Absolutely disastrous.
Take us through your symptoms, Lynn, over the journey.
Don't have any.
Yep.
Really?
But that's even like your niece, she would have loved you. Yeah, your niece being there wasn't for you. Like, she'd been in a room by herself, so you did the right thing, but it's come back to bite you.
Of course it has. I mean, it was bound to. You can't spend 7 days in isolation with a six-year-old who's positive and not to get it.
Yeah.
Mm.
But, I mean, the stupid thing about it is she has had no symptoms either. She hasn't had a temperature. She hasn't had a cold. She hasn't had nausea or vomiting or she's had nothing.
Yeah, no, it certainly has. Well, there's a GoFundMe page that's been set up to help with expenses to get Ivan and yourself and your granddaughter home. So head to Rush Hour Triple M on Instagram and follow the links there, and we'll try to get some funds from our Triple M listeners to help you with those fees. And just quietly, before we let you go, Lynn, we appreciate your time and we can understand and hear your frustration in your voice. What's Ivan like as a son-in-law? Has he been a massive punish or has he actually been all right?
No, he's excellent. Good.
Well, that's no fun at all. That's no fun at all. We're an FM radio show, Lynn. We're looking for a bit of angle.
I'm sorry. You asked a question if you want the honest answer.
No, I never wanted the honest answer. I just wanted a, you know, a cheeky answer.
You want him to lie.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I ask one more question?
Tell me that he's a whinger and he's been... He's cooped up and...
Correct. Thank you. As you know, they're not great with the rules. So, you know, they've let a few things through to the keeper.
Yeah, the people, don't get me wrong, the Fijian people are beautiful and they're supportive and they're helpful. And it really is a tragedy that this has happened because the resort relies heavily on tourism.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. We'll give our love to everyone there and we hope that it works out the best it possibly can. And lots of love from everyone here
with you guys.
At Triple M.
Driving home with three voices in your head. Gus, Jude and Wendell, the Triple M Rush Hour. The Rush Hour. We should have a new rule on the Rush Hour. We only speak to people who have won either a gold medal, held a world record or been on a reality TV show. Our next guest has done all three, winning 16 double grand slams and another 6 mixed doubles. He's won a gold at Atlanta Olympics and in 2007 was on Dancing with the Stars. But let's not talk about that because there's so much other stuff to talk about. Please welcome to the Triple M Rush Hour, Todd Woodbridge.
Yeah, g'day, Todd. Welcome to the Rush Hour. You support us on the Dead Set Legends over the last couple of years as well, mate. Welcome back. And you must be like a kid at Christmas. The Australian Open is on. The weather is good. The crowds are back. And Australia has started well.
Hey, g'day, fellas. Yeah, thanks. Nice to be back. Before we get into the tennis, though, you know that that intro was fantastic. And one of my greatest victories, though, was getting further in Dancing with the Stars and Wendell Saylor.
Oh, very good.
You give it to him, Woody.
Oh, well done, mate. You're right. I got out the first round. Let's just say, after my time at the Waratahs, I wasn't a fan favourite. But anyway,
concrete
well played.
it's been absolutely terrific to actually be able to get into the tennis and talk to tennis. Yeah. And there was a real, the oxygen was being sucked out of the tournament everything with what was going on with Novak. And I think we've settled in now. Been a great day at the courts today for a couple of Aussies with some big wins. So we're looking and hoping, fingers crossed, that we'll get a really big win tonight with Nick when he takes on Medvedev.
It's a massive clash. How do you see it playing out? Obviously, Nick has been COVID affected beforehand and come in with limited preparation. But, you know, it was a great first up clash versus Liam Broady and got it done.
Yeah, with Nick, we never know, do we? I mean, he could be in the best prep and he can snap. So, I mean, he hasn't played a tournament lately in. He's had asthma, he's had COVID, but he has trained. And that is the interesting thing. He looks a bit better than he's looked for a couple of years. So in this period that he's had at home, he's played a lot of basketball, but it's a fitness and he's been in the gym. So he's going to need all of that coming up against Medvedev, though. And these two, it could be quite gnarly. It could be really interesting because Medvedev, he's as much as a hothead as what Nick's been over the years. I think there are going to be a lot of eyeballs on this match.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Everyone that I know is going to be watching it. And he is bums on seats, whether you like him
or
not.
He's box office.
We chatted yesterday, Todd, about has he turned the corner? And we had a poll on our show and still people are like, oh, yeah, I like him, want him to go well, but he's not Ash Barty. Like, Ash is the entire package where with Nick, you still get these moments where you go, oh, mate, that's just really flog behaviour or that's not the way that we like to have our tennis players. Because we still remember you, still remember the Woodies, still remember Nuke and Roach and Leighton and Pat and all those sort of guys. And you guys always played it hard and you were world best, but you also played it in the right spirit. And sometimes he doesn't quite fit that mold.
No, he doesn't. But I don't think you can change him. You know, for his first match against Brody, we had Darren Cale and Jim and myself. And of course, Darren Cale has been one of the best coaches that Australia's ever produced. Great player himself. But he's taken on Andre Agassi, Leighton Hewitt to world number one, Simone Halep to world number one. And asked him straight out in the commentary, he said, how would you coach him? And he said, well, look, I can't change him. So if I can get 40 minutes out of him at its best in a session, that's what I'll do. If I get an hour and 40, that's what I'll do. But what I'm going to make him do is enjoy his tennis, and that will get the best result. But, you know, in the end, I think that's true. But we all know that if you haven't done the hard yards, your body breaks down. And that's the thing that happens for Nick. It's not about the talent and the shots and the selection of all that. You mentioned the word package, and that's where it gets really tough for him. But look, he is capable of beating anybody, and his record says that, whether it be Novak or Rafa, he can get them all.
Look, Todd, thank you so much, mate. We've got a huge match tonight. No doubt you'll be pumped to be calling it. Medvedev up against Nick. It's going to be an absolute cracker. That'll be about, 7 o'clock, or is that the
7
second
o'clock?
Game?
Yeah, 7 o'clock on 9. We'll be the doors will be open and it will be all happening.
That's beautiful. And Alex Demignor is playing as we speak. So we hope the Demon gets up as well. He's got so much quality and fight. We love him as well. And thanks, mate, for your time on game day, as so to speak. And we'll be looking forward to seeing you on 9 Gem. And of course, on the 9 now as well. You won't miss a thing at the tennis. That's it for today's podcast. We'll be back tomorrow for more of the show. You can catch us live on the radio from 4 p.m. on Triple M.